Well, the last time that I was here and spoke to you, it was about receiving forgiveness, needing forgiveness, and some of the things that that I've been through and that the people that I've been deployed with, that issues that they've had and when they got back, and just that, I forgive you, just how that would affect them and how much they needed to hear that. Tonight, I'm going to flip it around to the other side, and it's those people that give that forgiveness and how that we can, how that can affect us being the one forgiving, but along with that, the people that we are forgiving and what it means to them and what it really means to us in the end. You know, and I mentioned Paul, and I mentioned the issues that Paul went through throughout his life. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. He did some terrible, terrible things. But that changed. He did it all in ignorance. But then, in fact, if you want to turn over to 1 Timothy 1, and it'll be verse 12 and 13. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considers me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. That could be some of us. We could have acted in ignorance. It could have been in unbelief. But at times, it could be just a willful sin. It could be something that we know that shouldn't have happened, but it happens. Or it could be something that is, something happens, and as I mentioned in the last sermon, you fly off the handle and say things that you don't mean or do things that you don't mean, and needing that forgiveness. Paul always remembered the debt that he owed God, and the mercy that God showed him. He didn't have to make him the apostle that he was. He didn't have to choose him, but God had a reason for it. And in the end, Paul was one of the most faithful men to live and wrote a good majority of the Bible. And God put that in his hands. God, through him, or through Paul, or through God using Paul, we have the Bible that we can read and learn about God today. He shared the gospel with thousands of people. We should be doing that today. We talked about that in our class this morning on being stewards, good stewards of not only our earthly gifts that we have, these physical blessings that we have, but of the mysteries of God, as it says. We're to be good stewards of that. We're to share that with people. One of the ways that people will see that is how we live and how we interact with other people. There's a poem, I can't remember the whole thing, but one of the lines is, you are the Bible that people may not read. You may be the Bible that they see. You may be the only Bible that they see. So it's based on how you live is what kind of impact you're going to have on people. Now, the salvation that we're looking for isn't something that we earn. There's nothing through works that we're going to do to earn it. We couldn't earn what Bruce talked about this morning with the cross and the crucifixion and Jesus dying there for us. We couldn't earn that from him. He did that willingly. Titus 3:5 says, you know, the works of righteousness which we have done, but according that we couldn't earn these things through the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Matthew 5:7 said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So to understand the grace that God has given us, we have to understand and be able to extend that mercy the people around us. It could be someone close to us. It could be someone that we're driving down, maybe have a little bit of road rage and yelling at people. And not that I ever do that, but I've gotten a lot better. There are things, you know how it is. You get mad during the day and you might say something, do something, act a certain way that you're really ashamed of. And you wish that you could go back and say, hey, I'm really sorry. And maybe you have that opportunity. So I want you to think right now, has anybody ever done something to you to hurt you, cut you deep? But they've come back and they've asked for forgiveness. My question would be, think about it, you know, get that in your mind. How did you respond? How would you want that person to respond? Put yourself in their place. How would you want the person you're asking, being the person asking forgiveness, how would you want them to respond? Well, what did God do? Well, he gave his son. We had a great lesson this morning exactly on what God did to the people that, you know, he mentioned the centurions and the ones that were with him, that were working with him. And in the end, they said, surely this man was the Son of God. They saw that. How much mercy do you think they're looking for, or they looked for at that time? We really did kill God's Son. How do you think that person acts, going back to your own personal experience, when you forgave that person, if you forgave that person, how did they act? How did they act towards you? And we're going to look at some examples in the Bible about this. Ephesians 2:4, Paul tells us, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. There's nothing we can do. There's absolutely nothing we can do. It's God's grace that saves us. If we want to be able to forgive, if God was able to forgive us that much, giving his only son, and Bruce again had a great lesson and explained exactly what only begotten son means, unique. There's nothing else like him, nobody else like him. He was unique. Gave his only begotten son when we deserved spiritual death. We deserve physical death probably for the things that we've done that caused him. Shouldn't we be able to forgive others? I don't know of anybody that's killed anybody or tortured anybody. But we, in effect, did that to God's own son. Every time we sin, there's a song I wish I would have brought, but it's called I'm the One, and it talks about that. Every time I sin on earth, I know that I'm the one that sent Christ to the cross. We need to remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you mess up, you know that's not the way you are, hopefully. And you look for that forgiveness. You ask people to forgive you, and you truly hope that they will forgive you of what it is that you've done. I wish we could go back, and we don't have any little kids here tonight, but think back or think of some little kids that you know that are 3 or 4 years old. Now, they can get mad at each other. Somebody takes their toy, and Colin can probably remember this or think of this right now. His sons probably get in some fights every now and then. But then 5 minutes later, the older one's hugging the younger one and saying, come here, let me show you how to do this. Come here, let me teach you. Wouldn't that be great if we were all like that? And we could all just be so forgiving. And they've forgotten about that toy that the kid took. I know that's very basic and very, you know, hard to do sometimes, but I think kids have it right. Didn't Jesus say, don't prevent these kids from coming to me? Become like these little kids, these little children. And, you know, I think that part of it was that. Look at how forgiving they are. Let's try to get back to that. If we can't forgive, how do you expect God to forgive you? And this is where I say that it's you'll see here in a few seconds, how important it is to forgive. So if you would turn over to Matthew 18, and we'll start in verse 23. So Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. So if we go back to the beginning, back up to 23, he talks, this first servant owed him 10,000 bags of gold. The servant that owed this guy money, the servant that owed the servant money, owed him 100 silver coins. A small amount. This guy owed like 30 years worth of salary. And it was clean. It was wiped clean. In verse 26, it said he fell on his knees before the master and begged him, "Be patient with me. I'll pay back everything." And then it says, what's it say in verse 27? The servant's master took pity on him and canceled his debt. He had compassion, I think some of the other versions say. He had compassion on the person. Do we show compassion to people when they do us wrong? Do we hold that back for later use? I have to admit, I have a hard time sometimes with that. I am definitely, this sermon is not about me, because I have been on both sides of this. Now I'll say sometimes I hope that I'm getting better and try and forgive. But it's a hard thing when you've been hurt. But again, this guy, he owed, you know, years worth of salary, and then he goes and someone who owes him just a small amount, someone who maybe cut him off in traffic, and he wants blood, he wants to make this guy pay. We can't be like that. In the end, verse 35, this is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And he's talking about the master sending the servant to the jailer to be tortured, not just thrown in jail until you can pay it back, but throw him in there and torture him. You know, Peter asked, "How often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me?" And the reply was 7 times 70. So, you know, the literal folks, I could see Garrett's brain working. He's going to school, wants to, you know, be that lawyer, and it says 7 times 70, and that's 490 times. So you can get into that trap, And you can have the little tick marks as it goes along. Well, that's one, two, three. I remember back in 1999, you did this. 2005, you did this. And you can keep track of those, mental track of those things that go on. Well, if you're that good to keep track and get up to 490, you're better than me. But the fact is, even keeping track of one thing is, what if you forgive, you forgive. Basically what Jesus was saying there, forgiveness is bottomless. There's no end to forgiveness. If people truly repent, and let me make that clear, you've got to watch out for yourself too. People may say that, hey, I'm really sorry. At times you got to take it on face value. You don't know. You may never see them again, and you have a choice. You can forgive and forget it, or you can keep that in mind and keep thinking about that. But all that's going to do is eat away at you and cause you to have issues within yourself and with God even. Now, Matthew 7:2 should strike each of us very, very, should be close to home and make us really think about this. Matthew 7, verse 2, and it's talking about judging others. Verse 1, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, this isn't specifically talking about forgiveness. We'll get to that in a minute. But if you're looking at somebody saying, oh, look at them, look at how wrong they are and the way that they live and the way that they act and the things that they do, just watch, because that same measure that you're measuring them with, God is going to use that on you. You're basically setting the scale yourself for when God judges us. Now God is a just God, and obviously He's going to use His judgment, but you know how it is. If you've had kids, and I've used this before on Garrett and Hannah, you know, if they've done something, well, what do you think I ought to do? Okay, well, next time you do that, I'm going to do what you tell me you want me to do to Hannah, or Hannah, I'm going to do to you what you're telling me that you think Garrett should have as punishment. You're going to have that next time too. It's funny how that changes their idea on what that punishment should be. But think about that and keep that in mind when you're trying to, you know, put somebody down, or when you say, man, we ought to really do something to this person, or something should happen to this person for the things that they do. Just remember that when you say that or think that, just think back to this verse. God's going to measure you with the measurement that you measure others. Turn over to Luke 7. And we'll start in verse 36. Luke 7:36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at a table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he's saying this in his head, he's saying it to himself, this man, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. He's condemning this woman. He knows what she did, and he's condemning this woman for what she did, and he's saying, thinking to himself, you know, if Jesus was really a prophet, he's doubting Jesus right off. If Jesus really were a prophet, he'd know what type of woman this is, that she's such a bad sinner. Well, Jesus answered him. He knew what he was thinking. Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one that had who had the bigger debt, forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So Jesus goes into the Pharisee's house, and we know how the Pharisees were. They were letter of the law, do everything this way. They basically used the law to their benefit. They would look at ways to make it to their benefit. While he's there, this sinful woman comes in. She washes his feet with her tears, wets his feet down, wipes it with her hair. And the Pharisee is just indignant in the way that he's looking at her, and how can she be up there? If Jesus was really a prophet, he would know what type of woman this is. How can he do this? And he felt that Jesus should send this woman away. That's the judging that we could fall into. We could look at somebody and say, how can they live like that? How can they do these things? Again, remember, that judgment that you put on people, that's the judgment you're going to have on yourself. But Jesus knew what Simon was thinking and told him the parable of the two debtors. One of the debtors owed this massive amount of debt, and the other one, like in the first story, owed this small amount. When you think back to people that you've forgiven, or when you've been forgiven of things, when you've been forgiven of a little thing, you say something, just somebody says something to you and you snap and you say something and lose your temper and just say something off the cuff. And you say, I'm really sorry, I didn't really mean to do that. And then they say, that's all right. Maybe your friends you've talked to, maybe your kids, your spouse. That's a small forgiveness, depending on what was said. I mean, it could be very, very big, but we'll say it's the small thing. Maybe there could be a big thing that you've done something, spread lies of somebody that you maybe thought were true, but you didn't really do the research to find out. But it hurt that person. Maybe they lost a job over it. Maybe some terrible things happened to them in their life because of things that you have said or things that you have done. And you go up to them and you say, I just want to apologize. There's nothing I can do to fix any of this. Will you please forgive me? And they open their arms up and they say, I forgive you. Have you ever been forgiven like that? Have you ever done something so bad? And to have somebody forgive you, it's an awesome feeling. Each one of us, when we were baptized, should have felt that way, because everything that we have done has been washed away. At that point, you are completely clean. There's nothing in your past that he's going to remember. We try and live right, but at times we fail. But that's where, like Bruce talked about this morning, Christ went to the cross, and his blood will continuously cleanse us. But we have to try and live our lives right. This isn't an open-ended, you know, people will use the verse, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and they'll say, well, hey, we're going to sin. No, that's not what that verse is saying. We've all been there. We've all done that. But we all want to say that we can live like Jesus. Jesus is a perfect example, and we can live like that. I truly feel we can get to that point to where we can... He did it. He did it. He is an example, and we even tell people that. He is our example to go by. We don't have to sin. Each of you know exactly what sins you have. What's hard for you to control, possibly? Anger, like you had mentioned this morning. I mentioned in the last one. We all know what our sins are and what is our, with all the Marvel movies out and DC movies, our kryptonite, our, you know, the thing that hurts us or causes us grief or pain. We can work on those things. The final parable is Luke 13. And we'll start in verse 6. That's a short one. It says, then he told this parable, Luke 13, 6 through 9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went and looked for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. It mentions the 3 years. You know, Jesus' ministry was 3 years on earth. Again, in our class, this is one of the lessons we did in our class not too long ago, but... you know, the Jewish nation had their opportunity. They had their chance. And as Bruce mentioned this morning, not only them, I mean, we all are held accountable for Christ going to the cross. But, you know, they're talking here of the 3 years, and if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. The Jewish nation was basically gave up on Christ and crucified him, and they had their opportunity. Now we all have that opportunity. He's looking for all of us to bear fruit. And he's going to look at us and in the end say, how many of you bore fruit for me? Where is the fruit that you bore for me? We only have a certain amount of time. We only have a certain amount of time on earth. God's grace will end at some point. There will be a time when you no longer have that opportunity for God's grace. Again, as Bruce mentioned this morning, it could come death. You could die, and at that point, you know, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. At that point, you're done. Where you stand at that point is where you will be when God judges us. For some, it's a conscious decision to say, I'm not going to follow you, God. I don't care what you say. I don't agree with how you want me to live. There are too many fun things out there for me to do. I'm going to do that. And it's a conscious decision not to follow God. For some, maybe some in this room, it's going to be when Jesus returns. Some people will still be alive when Jesus returns, and at that point, that's the end. That's the end of the race, as Paul talks about, the race that we're running. So one of those three things is going to be the end for you. Death, or you just give up and say, I'm done, or Jesus returns. These three parables should convince us or convict each of us to look at how we forgive others. Do we forgive and wipe it away as if it never occurred? God does. I have a hard time with that. Maybe you do. But let's work on it, and we can work together on it. The bottom line is God will forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. So turn over to Matthew 6. In verse 14. Now, Jesus is talking to his apostles, and they had asked him how to pray. A lot of people call this the Lord's Prayer, the verses prior to this. It's a model prayer that Jesus had given them to use or to understand how to pray. They were asking him how to pray. But after he gives them that, the last, in verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." This is Jesus talking, saying, this is how you pray to God. Go to him and ask him, forgive us the way that we forgive others. So it goes back to the other verse that I mentioned. But if you go down to 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That should strike each of us pretty heavily to think about that, to think about how we treat people and the forgiveness that we give to others. So this week, think about how hard is your mercy to obtain? How hard is God's mercy to obtain? Not hard at all. You just have to, there are some steps you have to do. For God, he tells us, he wants us to read his Bible. He wants us to hear it, to understand it, to believe it, to repent of those sins, to confess those sins and repent of them, and then to be baptized. So there are things that he wants. Those are, if you want to call works, people will say those are works. They're not really works. They're what God has told us to do. These are the steps I want you to do. Understand what I want. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, be baptized, and live that life that I want you to live. So as you go throughout the week, think about that. Think about how easy your mercy is to obtain and how or how hard your mercy is to obtain. If anybody here, I don't know of everybody, but if anyone here is not a Christian and needs to be baptized, or if there are prayers that you would like, if there's something in your life that you have done and you are asking for forgiveness, and it's of a public nature and you want to come forward and confess that, you have that opportunity now. If you want to be baptized, you also have that opportunity, as if you would come forward as Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Mm-hmm.